You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. Very exciting episode, lots of stuff to get through, especially with being off for a couple of weeks. So I'll jump right into it. I'm going to be speeding through this week's episode. Just because of the amount of information, and I am trying to fight a cold, so I'm trying not to talk too much. No movie or TV show review for this week, or a Star Wars profile, but there is one bit of Star Wars news that's of note, as well as a movie I did get to watch. So I'll talk about that a little bit, but it won't be a full review. And then there'll be a couple of three you can relax posts to get through. One I posted a little bit earlier than I wanted to, but so there won't be any one for this Sunday. But since it's there, I'll share it, and it'll also explain the week off as well. So with that, I'll jump right into the episode. So this week's theme is the lease. So a lease is, in general terms, is a contract between two parties where one agrees to rent property or something of value from another person. The contract or the lease will specify the number of months and years for the contract between the two parties, as well as stating consequences for failing to uphold the contract. And ideally, you want consequences on both sides, so the leasee has certain punishments for not doing what they need to do, and the leasor has penalties for not holding up their end. Some also come with early termination clauses, so if the contract needs to be broken, then there are not necessarily repercussions, but payments for breaking the contract early because the lessee wants, or both parties are expecting in the early on to have the full contract fulfilled in full, but for whatever reason it needs to be broken early, so they are paid back for whatever the loss or potential losses or a certain percentage of that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. And to start it off, Google Cast is now officially built into Chrome, so you no longer need additional plugins or any special things. As long as you're using Chrome, you can cast to a Google Cast device. Apple has announced that their next big announcement is scheduled for September 6th, so look out for that. Everyone's, of course, expecting new iPhones and things like that to be released. And this is, of course, a day after LG's announcement, which is on September 6th, where they're expected to announce the LG V20, their next smartphone, and it will be the first to be running Android version 7.0 Nougat. I also have read stories, but I think it's all speculation. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't had a chance to really look into it, but Google's next announcement is scheduled, I think, for October 4th, so they're expected to release their next two devices, which are currently speculated that they'll be called the Pixel and the Pixel XL or something like that, or either the Marlin and the Sailfish. So we'll see probably on October 4th or around there. For those of you who want security or want to use a VPN service but may not have the money for it, or want something that's simple and easy to use, Opera has released a VPN app called Opera VPN for Android. So upon installation, you can use their VPN service unlimited and for free to use services in other countries that you may need to use or to have that extra level of security via VPN. Chrome OS via the development channel is getting an update to now support unlocking via PIN number, so if you don't necessarily want to use your password every single time to log in, then soon you'll be able to use your PIN number. Hangouts on Air is scheduled to be phased out and moved to YouTube Live on September 12th, so if you do want to still have a live internet broadcast, then YouTube Live will be the place to go. WhatsApp beta got updated to now allow forwarding messages to multiple recipients at the same time, so if you do get a message and you want to send it to a bunch of different people but not necessarily create a group, then it now supports that. Google Play got an update, or the Google Play Store got an update to now no longer require having a Google Plus profile to leave a rating. So it goes back to the days before that was a requirement. The Mr. Robot video game was released for Android and iOS, so you can jump right into the world of Mr. Robot. You get a cell phone and you have to follow instructions and things like that. I think it's a $2.99 game, so it does require some money. I haven't had a chance to buy it as I'm still catching up on a lot of things, but it does seem interesting, so when I get a chance, I'll check it out. Google Duo is now available for Android and iOS, and in case you're a little hazy on what it is, it's Google's video messaging app that aims to be a cross-platform app for video chatting, so you no longer have to have a Skype account, or if you're a Skype user for either Android or iOS. And on the iOS side, you no longer need to, you're no longer, I'll say, restricted to have other people with iOS for FaceTiming. Google's Duo brings you that video communication for Android and iOS users just by using your Google account and your phone number. My device actually is having trouble with getting past the initial setup, so I'm not sure of the exact steps, but if you want a cross-platform app for video chat, and you don't necessarily want to create another account, let's say for Skype, or have to use Skype for that chatting, then Google Duo is the way to go. Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders digital game release trailer was released. It's a game that was set to release on October 11th. So if you're, and it's set in the old Adam West period of Batman, so it's going to be the classic look and feel and villains and all of that fun stuff. Instagram got an update this week to add Pinch to Zoom for iOS, so you can now click on the pictures and zoom in to get or to see more detail on specific parts of images. The Android version is coming soon, so look out for that in the coming weeks. I will say there are third-party ways of doing the same thing on Android. It does require rooting your device and installing an app called Expose Installer, and then a module called, I think it's Xtana or Xinsta, something along those lines, where it hooks into Instagram and lets you do the same thing. But it's good to see that Instagram will be building that feature right into the app. This week, Google's On have turned 1 year old, and with that, they have decided to add support for the controlling Philips lighting smart light bulbs. So once you plug them in, all you have to do is visit on.here, so that's on.here in a web browser, and you can control them, I assume, from desktop and mobile devices. This week, IFA is going on in, I want to say, Barcelona, so a bunch of new devices have been released and are announced. I'm not sure about release dates. So to start it off, Acer has announced two devices. The first is called the Acer Liquid Z6. It's a 5-inch device with a quad-core 1.26 GHz processor, 1 GB of RAM, 8 GB of storage, and it runs Android Marshmallow. They also announced the Liquid Z6 Plus. It's a 5.5-inch device, or 5.5-inch screen device with 3 GB of RAM, 32 GB of storage, 4,080 mAh battery, and also runs Android Marshmallow. So if you like Acer devices and want a higher-end device, then the Z6 Plus is the way to go, or the Liquid Z6 Plus is the way to go. If you want a slightly low to mid-range device, then the Liquid Z6 is the device for you. Samsung announced two new smartwatches this week. It's the Gear S3 Frontier and the Gear S3 Classic. Both come with a 1.3-inch screen, dual-core 1 GHz processor, 768 MB of RAM, 4 GB of storage, Tizen Wearable OS 2.3.2, and a 380 mAh battery. The only real noticeable difference between the two is the size. I think the Frontier is a little bit bigger and the Classic is a little bit smaller. But for the most part, both devices are about the same. Motorola this week has announced the Moto Z Play. This is a unlocked Android device. It's similar. I didn't compare it to the Moto Z Play Droid, which is a Verizon exclusive device. But if you like the Moto Z and you want it on other carriers, then the Moto Z Play is the way to go because it is an unlocked device and supports non-Verizon bands. Otherwise, it comes with a 5.5-inch screen, 3GB of RAM, 32GB of storage, with an expandable SD card slot. I didn't see what the max limit is, but if you do need more storage than 32GB, it does support it. It has a 16-megapixel rear camera, a 3150mAh battery, fingerprint reader, which is water-resistant, and runs Android 6.0.1. It is also compatible with Moto Mods. So these are mods that you can hook up directly to your device to expand its functionality. So there's a couple of things like a speaker, I think it's JBL, but don't quote me on it, but it hooks to the back and turns your device into your own portable stereo. There's also a camera. I forgot what the name of the camera is, but you can plug in the camera and it turns into a full, I don't want to say DSLR, but it turns it into a full camera. So if you need to take pictures of things that are further away or want more detail or any more functionality that a normal camera would provide, then the add-on is supposed to do that as well. And there's a few other things here and there as far as mods go, but those are the two things of note. So that's all there is for that. So I will jump right into the big announcement for the while I was off, and that Android 7.0 Nougat is now jumping into the final stages of release. So it has already started rolling out for the various Nexus devices like the Nexus 5X and the 6P. I think the tablets and other various recent Nexus devices. So if you own a Nexus device, a recent Nexus device, then you should see that rollout coming soon. Among some of the more notable features are that more emojis are built right into it, as well as support for recent emojis as well. It also offers customizable quick settings, which can be rearranged as needed. So if you have a particular order or want to see certain quick settings, then you can now arrange those. It has better support for multi-locale languages. So if you do have other languages, it has improved compatibility there. It also has multi-window support. So tapping on the quick switch button, I think it's either the home button or the recents button, will allow you to get to your recent app and switch into multi-window mode. It also has quick switch, which allows you to switch quickly between the two recently open apps by double tapping on the overview button. So that way, if you're trying to get, let's say you're working within two apps like Maps and Chat, or let's say WhatsApp and Hangouts or something, then you can easily do that. There's also more direct reply support in the notification drawer, so it's easier to do that. Doze has been expanded to now enable even when the device is moving around in your pocket or bag. So it has an improved detection when the sensors are covered to know that it should be in low power mode rather than just when it's not moving and the screen is off. Vulkan and Daydream are now built in directly to the OS, so it now more easily supports virtual reality devices, apps, and games. My favorite feature, though, is the seamless updating. So what this is that it now allows for updating Android simply by rebooting your device. So it'll download any updates in the background, and then it'll notify you to reboot your device. Once you reboot, your updates are already done and ready to go, and you're taken right to your login screen. If this sounds familiar, this is actually what Chrome OS has already been doing for several years now. So when you boot up your device and you're using it, you'll see a little arrow telling you that updates are ready, so restart your device to continue. You simply hit that reboot, and your updates are already installed. So this is, I think it's something like an A-B partition on your device, where you essentially have two copies of the OS, the one you're currently using and another one for updates. When you have an update installed, it'll install in the background, it'll switch to that one, and then your original one will become the place where the next update is installed. So as far as I understand, it switches back and forth like that, but if I'm missing something, feel free to let me know. But from my basic understanding, essentially the updates will install in the background, reboot your device, and your updates are installed. There's also now something called Direct Boot, which allows for faster booting of your device and quicker access to your apps. So the boot time on your devices on Android 7 will now be faster. And there's now built-in support for migrating from iOS to Android. So you now do not need a OEM device to do this. So rather than needing a Samsung or LG or Sony or any other device manufacturer that builds this into their devices for switching or migrating from iOS to Android, it now is supported natively. So For example, if you're on a ROM like CyanogenMod, I'm speculating here where they do something like this, or if you're moving to a Nexus device, for example, to be more accurate, it now builds in moving from iOS, so they give you instructions on how to do that and bring your whatever data you may need. I assume it does everything, so bringing your data from your iOS device over to Android. So that's the basic overview of what's coming in Android 7. So I will talk a little bit later about why I'm holding off on buying, but that is more of a personal reason than anything else. So with that, I'll jump into a feature review, which is Google has announced a couple of new games that they've built into Google Search. I've only been able to access one so far on my device. I've been able to access both on the other, but since those are not my devices, in this case, I'll only be talking about being able to play Tic-Tac-Toe in Google Search. The other game is Solitaire, so the getting there is about the same. But if you are on the go and you want to play a quick game to pass the time, you can now do both. So what you'll do is you'll open up Google Now on mobile or Chrome on your mobile device or desktop, and you'll do a search for Tic-Tac-Toe or Solitaire. For Tic-Tac-Toe, you'll see a screen right at the top where you can set your level of difficulty or play against another player. Once you've done that, you select what, in the case of Tic-Tac-Toe, if you want to be X or O, X goes first. So if you select to be O, then the computer will start as X, or if you want to be O, X, or if you're playing against someone else, it doesn't really matter. But once you start, you play the game and go through it, and it keeps score as long as you play in that game. So once you finish the first game, you can do restart, and it will keep track of wins and losses, and obviously nothing for draws. So basically, that's all there is to that, and it's a fun little game to play on your mobile device on the go. And then there's also Solitaire, so you'll do a search for Solitaire, and then you'll see a button for tap to play or tap now to play. Once you do that, it'll load a deck of cards. It does work in portrait and landscape, so it adjusts accordingly. And it's a drag and drop interface, so you just drag your cards accordingly. You can double tap, I don't think double tap works to move your aces to the right, but you can drag the cards over and it'll place them accordingly. So in the show notes, I'll have a link to the video preview of playing Tic-Tac-Toe. I did do a search for Solitaire at the time as well, and I still couldn't get access to it, so I'll keep checking until I can play it, but at the moment I can only have access to Tic-Tac-Toe. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. So to start off with some news, Mr. Robot has been announced that it is renewed for a third season, so if you're enjoying the show, it will be coming back for more. HBO has released a longer trailer for Westworld, so we get a lot more Anthony Hopkins and a little bit more insight into the androids that have been created. And finally, in the Star Wars show, the YouTube show, as far as getting into the official Star Wars show on the YouTube side for all things Star Wars, they announced a new droid that will be coming previewing and showing up in Star Wars Rogue One, and this droid is C2B5. And in case you're wondering what it looks like, it's basically a black and silver version of R2-D2. So I'm actually very intrigued to see where they go with it and how the droid plays into the Star Wars universe. As far as what I watched, there were a couple of shows that I did continue to watch over the past couple of weeks. But I did also watch The Bourne Legacy. I still haven't had a chance to watch Jason Bourne, but I figured before I do that, I'll watch The Bourne Legacy, see how good or bad it is. And it's getting around a 50 to 60% rating if memory serves, and it's right about there as far as how good it is. Basically, it deals with the aftermath of what we saw in The Bourne Ultimatum, where the fallout for Blackbriar and The Bourne, all of the programs that were in the background, how they're falling out into the public sector. So basically there are multiple divisions as far as how the program is being run, and Aaron Cross, the character who is being played by the guy who plays Hawkeye in the Avengers, basically it's his program that's being shut down, and they're one by one killing off anyone dealing with that part of the program to shut it down, to say that they got it under control. So basically it was okay, but since it dealt with the aftermath and we're not really focusing on the on Jason Bourne himself, I thought it was decent enough. It was, I don't know, like, it was good, but it wasn't anything special. It seemed like it was just a way to continue the series to bridge the gap until they get into Jason Bourne, I assume. So when I watch that, I'm hoping that it fits or paints a more complete picture as far as what's going on. As far as the summary of Jason Bourne, I know, the top of my head, I know that from the trailers, at least, that there's more to the programs than what Bourne knows as well. So maybe that's why they made the Bourne Legacy. So we'll see. I basically recommend watching as far as continuity, but that is about it. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's You Can Relax segment. So the first segment, or post number 13, is I've caught up on Vikings. So there are, I think, 3 or 4 seasons of Vikings, and overall it was really good. I was holding off watching it just because I think I was probably only seeing, like, the fight scenes whenever I switched to it, or in the trailers I was only seeing the fight scenes, so it seemed kind of weird to me that, or seemed that it was going to be a show that I wouldn't like, but it actually was a really, really good show. So now that I'm caught up, I actually can't wait for the next season, which I think is season 5, if memory serves, that's coming out in 2017. But overall, it's a show that's worth watching. It follows the exploits and legend of Ragnar Lothbrok in the Viking histories and lores. So there are violent scenes, but I do like the interactions and friendships between him and Floki. The storyline of Bjorn was okay. It was actually pretty good. I liked that he had a bigger role in the last season. I liked Lagertha's role overall, that she didn't settle when she got her divorce. Princess Althlag was a good role. She was a good secondary character. I liked her role a little bit more than Bjorn's. I have a feeling that there's more to her role than we're seeing, so I'm hoping that they bring her more to the forefront in the next season, as well as Ragnar's other sons, to see kind of what they've been doing and more of their role, and see how life proceeds from here. As far as the next post, number 14, I have restarted watching Stargate SG-1. So in the past few weeks, I've gone through season 1 and I'm a couple of episodes into season 2. So my whole reasoning here is that the entire series is streaming on Amazon Prime. And I want to say that I don't think I've seen every single episode. I'm 99% sure that I have, but I've seen them all out of order. So I don't know what order it happens in, what the proper timeline is. So I thought I'd watch from the beginning and pretty much just go all the way through to season, I think, 7 or 8, up until the when the Ori come into play. Just because I saw that those 3 seasons recently, and because I've never seen them before, so I want to see the original series in order, just to see that whole timeline and see the proper progression of everything. And finally, for post number 15, as far as explaining the week off, where the 2 weeks out there were no shows, I actually took a week off to go on vacation. I went on a cruise to Alaska. So I'll have a link in the show notes to more information there, but took a bunch of pictures as well, so the full photo gallery. But I had a great time. I definitely recommend going if you can. I want to say June or July is a better time to go, just because more warmth and more sunlight. But August is not too bad as well. We went, obviously, in August, but you run a higher chance of hitting a lot of rain. The first couple of days, there was a lot of rain, but we luckily caught the end of a storm. So from about Tuesday to Thursday, it actually worked out really well, where it progressively got sunnier and warmer. So we were able to enjoy it that much more, but the first couple of nights were kind of rough, being on the seas and the rain and all of that stuff. But I do recommend it. We did stop in Skagway, Juneau, and Ketchikan. In Skagway, I do recommend taking the train. If you want to go both ways, do it. But we went on the bus and train. I do recommend the train ride down the mountain. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fresh air, the mountains, icebergs, the river, all of that was definitely something worth watching. In Juneau, we went on the excursion to go on the glacier. We went on Mendenhall Glacier, so that was a lot of fun, just catching the views and all that. And then we also went dog sledding, so they took us on a 20 or 30 minute round of dog sledding, so that was definitely fun. We got to meet a few of the dogs, the ones that stood out, or we met a dog named Elsa, and then a lot of the dogs in the camp we went to were named after a classic rock band, so Pink Floyd, and a few others from that era. And then in Ketchikan, it wasn't necessarily a full day, but there was not much to do there, so we went on a kayaking excursion, so we got to kayak around the immediate lake area, so we got to see a bald eagle family in their nest. We saw a humpback whale, and we got to see a sea lion, so that was a lot of fun being able to see that. So overall, definitely a cruise worth going on. I will highly recommend Princess Cruise. Their staff was very friendly and helpful and attentive, and everything ran like clockwork, so there's not much else to say there, but definitely a cruise worth going on if you can go. So that's all there is for this particular episode. So a bit of news as far as why I'm not getting a new device at the moment. So we landed in Vancouver after the cruise, and when I went to take a picture, I dropped my phone and cracked my screen. So otherwise, the phone itself works. I was going to try and use my old device, but it's far too old and slow, and it's hard to get. I'll probably get about 5 to 8 hours of use, which is not too bad since I'm at work for most of the day, but it's very sluggish and I can't really use anything. If in case of emergency, I wouldn't be able to use it in a pinch, so I'm still using my old Fire Phone with the cracked screen. But since LG's announcement for their V20 is coming out they're announcing the phone on September 6th, and Google's line of devices are expected to be announced in a month or so, I decided I'll wait, use my phone as long as I can, as long as it keeps working, to see how the V20 is, what kind of reviews it gets, and what kind of reviews the Nexus gets, to get the first phones with Android version 7. I know there were a bunch of devices launched recently, even the Nexus or the Samsung Galaxy Note 7, which I'm holding off on now, especially because of the stories that they're recalling it because it catches on, or some of them have been catching on fire. I basically want the first devices with Android version 7, so I know that the hardware will be supported for as long as possible, and I can, and let's say I do go with LG, I can eventually ROM it and put CyanogenMod on and keep it going that much longer, or you will get a Nexus and have that device as well. So I'm kind of holding off getting on that, holding off to wait on to see what those devices are look like and deciding for a new device after that. But if you can get a device now, basically any flagship device is always my recommendation. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find all links, past episodes, subscription links to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, RSS, all of that at patelN01.com. If you want to get this show or more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. And of course, if you want to support the show, there's paypal.me/patelN01, the Patreon and all that stuff. Links, as I said, are on patelN01.com or geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.